Welcome back, everyone. Miles here, your host as always. This week's episode is cool for me because I met this woman for about 5 minutes in Las Vegas at the International Builder Show after I spoke about how to start a podcast. She asked that I send her presentation. I did, and we emailed back and forth, and now she's on the show. She's interested in starting her own podcast, and she's going to be sharing with us her personal journey as well as her business journey and everything in between. So It was a great, great, very raw, emotional episode because she very personal about divorce and being a single mom and being a businesswoman, and there's a lot there. And so thank you very much to Erin, whom you'll meet now. Great conversation, and enjoy the show. All right, so I'm here with Erin Swadley, whom I met at the International Builder Show in Las Vegas, where I gave a speech about how to start a podcast. And you came up to me, Erin, and you know, asked for my info so I could say my presentation and just talk podcasting. And that led us to this conversation right now. So thanks for joining me tonight.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what made you want to come up to this random guy at the International Builder Show and say, email me this?
I work in the construction industry part-time with my family. I have a best friend who has had a similar path in her life to me, which is that we are both single moms. And we have quite a few other friends in our town here that are in the same position. And we get together regularly and have lots of laughs and tell our stories about raising our children alone and dating and work and all of the, you know, fun things that happen to us and not so fun things. And my friend and I have tossed around the idea of perhaps starting a podcast for single parents. And so that was why I had found myself in that seminar with you and really enjoyed it and was happy to get that information and connect with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. And that sounds like a very interesting idea for a podcast. You're probably sitting around over a bottle of wine just talking and gossiping. Yes. And you're like, wait a second, why aren't we recording this right now?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Always over a bottle of wine, yeah, for sure, especially for single parents.
So is there a podcast that exists like that already, or you guys, would this be a completely new thing?
That is something that we need to look into. We're in the really early stages right now of just formulating that idea, but that's on my list, is to start doing some research out there.
So. Sure, sure. Well, even if there is, that's one thing I found is I started this thinking I was going to be the only guy that's your average random guy talking about stuff. And then you, as soon as you get into the world, the podcast world more, you realize that there's probably a dozen other people with the show very similar to what you do, with just with a different name. And that's okay. That's what part of what I like about podcasts is that there's really room for everybody. And even if it's a similar idea, everybody's got their own style. So it's never completely redundant.
Yes. Everyone has a story to tell. That's for sure.
Yeah. So it seemed like you got a little bit into your story there to tell about being a single mom. And would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yes, I'd be glad to. So I currently live in my hometown, which is Marquette, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. So way up north on the south shore of Lake Superior. It's a town of about 20,000 people, plus more in the surrounding area. Fairly remote. We're about 3 hours from the largest, you know, city where you might go for shopping and entertainment and that sort of thing. But it's a beautiful area, just full of nature and things to explore. We have a college here in our town, and which provides quite a bit of cultural activities and just great restaurants and bars and just wonderful people here. And it's a fantastic place to live. That's for sure. Once I graduated from college, I met my husband and got married, and we left and moved out west and eventually found our way back to the Midwest. And we're living in another state and had two beautiful children, two girls, and just lived that kind of crazy life that was happy and full of joy and excitement, raising two young children, but also struggles like any young couple goes through. But overall, it was a really happy life, and just went about my day as a stay-at-home mom, and he worked full-time, and I kept the house moving and had a lot of fun with the kids and made dinner every night, and we always had fun activities to do on the weekends and that sort of thing, and really was just a happy life. And I would say that there was a period of time that, looking back, came on sort of suddenly, but he was wanting to go out with friends from work more often and just do things out of the home on the nights and weekends. And I was in full support because I knew that it was hard to be working full time, and he did a pretty big commute to his job. And I was just genuinely happy that he had some fun times. And that went on for maybe a couple months. And then all of a sudden there was like this week where I would say some incidents happened that kind of had maybe little red flags that popped up. And I one night just had this gut feeling that I should look at his phone. And so he was out of the house outside. I opened the phone and the first text message that I saw on the screen said, "I love you." And the reply was, "I love you too." Oof. And it was just a life, you know, altering, earth shattering moment that, yeah, you know, I'll never forget. Again, we had 2 young kids, 3 and a half, maybe 4 and about 1 and a half when that happened. And it was evening. They were outside, you know, with him, and I had to pull it together and was able to somehow, you know, get them to bed that night. And I confronted him and he admitted to it and had some, you know, strong words and lots of tears. And, you know, I guess that night was pretty much a blur, but I did ask him to leave and he did. And my youngest sister came up and spent a week with me, and I, you know, kind of muddled through and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I just felt like I couldn't stay in that house and in that environment. And I told him I was leaving. I didn't know for how long, but I needed to go home to my parents. And I had him give me written permission actually to take the kids out of state. And I packed up just a car with, you know, clothes and necessities and left and came home and moved in with my parents. And, you know, they were so supportive. His family was very supportive. They were very upset, of course, at what he did to me, but, you know, found themselves in that kind of awkward position of wanting to, you know, be there for him, but especially be there for me and the kids. And there were some really dark times, and I somehow, you know, made it through the days being the best mom that I could. And then the nights were really hard, full of tears and, you know, lots of heartache. And I just sort of struggled through, you know, maybe about 6 months of doing that, just kind of getting through the days until it kind of got to a point where I thought, okay, I need to, you know, figure out what I'm going to do, accept my new life as it is. I was pretty sure that I was going to leave him. I just couldn't imagine going back to somebody that, you know, had fallen in love with somebody else. And as he did make some attempts at reconciling, but they were not very big attempts, I'll say. And at that point, you know, I had pretty much just told him that it was over, that I just couldn't see myself going back to him, that was just a deal breaker for me. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. So it had been about 6 months and I was living with my parents and they were helping me with the kids. And I thought I should get a part-time job. And I did. I put my kids in daycare for a few days a week and got a part-time job. I was working with senior citizens doing activities at a senior living community. And it was just a wonderful place to be, a great environment, working with these people that had these full, rich lives with all these wonderful stories to tell. And it was just a loving and supportive group of people. And that really helped me have a sense of purpose and just kind of find myself slowly again through all that darkness. And I also took up running. For some reason, I had never run before really in my life. And I started with, you know, barely able to do a mile and kept working my way up. I reconnected with some old friends and just slowly started, you know, coming back to life, my new life, I guess. And it took a long time, you know, to get to a good enough place where I felt like I could do that and be social and that sort of thing. I was very embarrassed of what had happened. I felt like I didn't want to even talk about it to anybody. It was really hard for me. But those runs with a really good friend that I reconnected with, that was so helpful. We had lots of great, you know, conversations, so much time together on the trail, and could really process what happened and talk about it with her. She was a great support system for me. And then I would say maybe about 6 months into that new life of that part-time job and all that, I had a friend who had a cleaning business, and she was going on maternity leave, and she asked me if I wanted to take a couple of her clients for some extra money. And I just said yes. And I did that. And before I knew it, people were referring me to, you know, other friends. And I thought, well, this might be a good idea for a business. And so I started a business and it just sort of took off. being in that senior living community environment, I started to think about the needs of seniors and what they might need help with before they got to that assisted living kind of community. And so I added in taking care of seniors, doing home care, laundry, errands, walking the dog, medical appointments, that sort of thing. Hired an employee, and before I knew it, had another one, and that just kind of kept going. And so I was able to start my own business. And again, that gave me this newfound passion and purpose in my life. And I found a pretty good success in that, and finally was able to move out of my parents' house and rent a home for me and my girls. And that was a really big step for us and really kind of set the stage for our new life and where we're at now. Through those times, I guess, of maybe that first year, my then husband and I, we were still married but separated, and we're still trying to, I guess, sort out and navigate how that relationship would go with our co-parenting. He would come here and visit the kids. It was about a 7-hour drive, but he would make a pretty good effort at coming to see them, you know, maybe once every 3 weeks or so, and spend the weekend with them. He's consistently maintained that over the past 7 years, between every 2 or 3 weeks coming to see the kids. So that has been amazing for them. It was a big blessing, I think, to have this happen when they were so young, because they don't remember. This is the only life that they know is, yeah, you know, living with me full time. Sure. I can't imagine how hard it would be for children who are older and aware of what's happening, you know, to go through that process. So that was a big blessing for us.
Sure. So backing up, I just didn't interrupt you because that was quite a story. And first, thank you. I know you said you were embarrassed to share it previously, so I appreciate you sharing that with me and thus the world now. How old were you when all of this happened? You said it was 7 years ago.
Right. So I'm 39 now. So yeah, it was, we were pretty settled in our life there. And,
sure.
And again, I was a stay-at-home mom, but I had a college degree. I had a previous work experience in a pretty exciting environment and had that background. And that was a big shift to go into being at home with two little kids. But it was really important to me and to my, you know, ex-husband to have a parent home with them the whole time.
Well, that's where my mind was going, is to go from stay-at-home mom, you know, in a two-parent household to single mom, you know, with your parents, but then having to get in a workforce, that had to be quite the transition.
It was. And I am extremely blessed with very involved and loving and helpful and generous parents. And I could not have done any of this without them. Just besides the fact that they put a roof over our heads and supported us, I mean, even financially for quite some time there, they were just my, you know, sounding board for everything. They were there for all the tears and heartache and all the positive things too that happened to me along the way.
Right. Did that come up in job interviews at all? It's like, so Aaron, I see you haven't been employed for the past couple of years. You know, tell us about that. And then does it, you have to go through this whole story with people, or did it, you're able to navigate that pretty easily?
Lucky enough, that senior living community I worked at, my parents were co-owners in. And so I had a foot in the door already because of that. I did still go through an interview, and I was honest with her, with the woman that was in charge at the time. And she was also actually a single mother. And so I think we bonded immediately because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. So yeah, that's just, I can't imagine going through anything like that. And I'm sure you learned quite a lot about yourself. You talked about, you know, kind of putting a smile on and putting on the mask of mom, right, to get through the day until the kids went to bed, and then you're just left with yourself and your thoughts.
Yes, that was, it was so hard. I think, again, the blessing of their ages, that they were oblivious to that, that even though it was hard for me during the day, I mean, I did try so hard to hide that, but I think just their ages really helped me in that sense.
Sure. How old are they now?
Now they are 11 and 8.
Man, so it's a whole new set of fun. My son is just a little over 1, and he's just insane. He runs around all the time, bouncing off the furniture and babbling. Yes. And I just say to my wife today, I can't wait till I can actually talk to him and he'll talk back in words that I can understand and not just baby language.
But, oh, it's so fun. Oh, yeah. Just cherish it. Those are just wonderful times, really. So they're so hard, but they're so rewarding.
Yeah. Very tiring, but like you said, rewarding. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you said your kids don't, you know, they don't really know anything else, but I'm sure they've picked up a few things on the way. You know, why is dad only here once a month or things like that? What do you think they've learned from all this or taken from this whole experience?
They still don't know what happened, to be honest. I hope they never know. I get that at some point it'll come to light. I think that's something that he and I are going to have to talk about and figure out how we're going to navigate that. And, you know, there's a lot of people in my hometown, you know, all of our families that know, listeners that know at some point they're going to have to find out. And I hope that that's something that he and I can talk to them about together. But I just don't want them to know right now that sure. He was the cause of that to happen. And another part of the story is that he is still with this woman, and they're actually getting married this spring. So she's heavily involved in their lives. And I don't want them to think, you know, badly of her either, because she'll be their stepmom. And I think that's, you know, she'll be a very important part of their lives. And so I just want them to, you know, be oblivious, I guess, to that.
Sure.
For as long as possible. It was so hard, especially in the beginning, to be co-parents together when I, you know, couldn't even look at him. It was just unbelievably difficult. But from the very beginning, I put my kids first and their happiness. And I knew that I wanted to work with him to be such good co-parents that they would have no idea that there was any ill will, you know, between us.
Sure.
And I really have to give him credit for doing the same. I can't imagine that his path was easy either. And although it was based on the choices that he made, it was still not something that I'm sure he expected or wanted, of course, to have happen. And but I've never said anything bad about him to them. I never will. I always speak positively of him to them, encourage, you know, them to spend time with him, work around his schedule with traveling. And, you know, I'm very flexible with that. It's just really important to me that my kids grow up with their dad that's involved in their lives as much as he's able to. I hope I'm not glorifying it, because it's extremely hard. It's still hard to see him come in the door and, or have my kids talk about their soon-to-be stepmother and tell me the stories of what they did together over the weekend. It still hurts. I mean, to be honest, it's not, I don't think it will ever be easy, but it gets easier as days and months and years go by. And I've just put such a focus on building up my life, my new life here, my personal life, you know, with, I just sort of adopted this mantra, just say yes. That was my mantra from the beginning when I moved back here. And once I got kind of over that maybe 6 month, you know, depression that I was in, I just started saying yes when people would ask me to do things. Even if I was really uncomfortable with it, I thought I just have to try it. And so I signed my older daughter up for, you know, soccer when she was in kindergarten, and I signed up to be a assistant coach. And then that's how I met my best friend, because she was the head coach and I was the assistant coach, and we hit it off right away. And she asked me to play adult women's soccer that summer, and I said, sure, yes, I'll do that, even though I hadn't played since I was a kid. And I had a wonderful time and met another group of amazing women who invited me to join their floor hockey league. So I said yes to that. And this circle of women, they're like family to me, and we've been through so much together, and we are, you know, deeply ingrained in each other's lives. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that mantra. Just say yes. Mm-hmm. I've done a little of that recently with the podcast thing, is, you know, just one interview leads to another interview, leads to another experience, leads to, you know, it's that ripple effect when you put yourself out there and allow things to happen. It's pretty cool what can happen.
That's right. Absolutely.
So is this circle of women the women that you're looking to do the podcast with now?
Right. So some of them, my best friend, she's in that group of women. And there's a couple others that are, you know, in similar positions as single moms. And so we've talked about it together many times. And so, yeah, I think we've got a lot of fun stories and insight to share.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like I could have picked apart the first 10 minutes of this into five different 1 hour episodes of your story.
Right.
So, and that's just you, and there's a whole group, and I definitely think you guys should do it. I mean, just hearing your side of things, I know there'll be people out there who will identify with what you have to say and what they have to say. And so often everybody thinks that they're the only people going through something, but really it's not true. There's so many people that are going through whatever we're going through that at a certain point, and by putting our stuff out there, we can help other people. So
absolutely, that's huge. That's right.
What are the what resources are there or were there for a single mom in Michigan? You know, are there like support groups for that, or other, like, is there a community of single parents that you can lean on, or is it really sort of a unspoken sort of thing?
Yeah, you know, there very well could be. And I think just because of my feelings towards wanting to keep it so private, because at first anyways, because I was so embarrassed about it, I just didn't even look for that. And I should have, because I'm sure that I would have found great resources. I just kept it to myself and to my immediate family and, you know, best friends for quite some time, and then just slowly started opening up. But as soon as I did that, as soon as I opened up and started being vulnerable and putting myself out there and saying yes, I started meeting so many other people that were in the same situation or similar situations to me, and they have become, you know, great resources for me and I for them, and, you know, we've bonded forever because sure. of it. And I continue to meet people. Unfortunately, I mean, some of my dearest friends have gone through similar situations, and I've been able to really help them and support them through it. There's just something to having someone to talk to who has been through something like you have, I guess, that you just have this understanding and bond that you can't replicate unless you've been through it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really liken it to have maybe like being like a death in the family, like a really close family member or, you know, friend, someone that you really love. I mean, that's what it felt like. I think I went through all those stages of grief.
Sure. Yeah, because just like the death of a person is really the death of your identity at that time, right? You were wife and mother and all those good things, and then a big part of that's just ripped away, and that's a big deal.
But then if you look back, like I mean I do sometimes wonder, what would my life be like if this didn't happen, if I was still in that, you know, other state and in that situation, still married. And I think about that, but right now I wouldn't have it any other way. Even though it was so hard and I struggled for so long, I was able to, like you said, strip it all down and start new and build this new life. And I am so thankful for the life that I have now. I love my life. I am so blessed. Don't get me wrong, I've worked so hard for it. I still continue to work hard every day. I mean, I am going nonstop from, you know, dawn till dusk and then beyond, just to keep my home and my life going for my kids and for my work. But I just wouldn't change it. I'm so grateful for it. And I'm thankful that it happened to me. I couldn't have said that, you know, 5 years ago, maybe not even, you know, 4 years ago, but just in the past few years, I could say that I'm glad it happened, as sure. weird as that sounds.
No, I mean, it's the final stage of grief, right? Is acceptance. And I think probably the reason why you do love it so much is that you have worked so hard for it. You know, you know what it took right. to get here. And so I think it's awesome that you can have that mindset and that outlook that, you know, you can see the glass half full instead of half empty. Not many people in your situation would.
Right.
You know, throughout that whole time in your life or these past 7 years, what was a piece of advice that somebody gave you that really resonated with you that you think would resonate with other people?
Well, that's a good question. I feel like I'm not very good at remembering things okay. so much. But I would say, you know, just being there, just friends and family, just being there and listening and letting me vent all my crazy things and then just accepting that and not judging me. That was probably the best thing that people could do for me and support me and that I try to do for other people.
Yeah, sometimes offering no advice can be the best advice, right? You just shut up and listen. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, if you had to offer advice, even though I just said the best advice is no advice, when you say when people come to you with their stories now, what's something that you share with them as they go through this on their own journeys?
If they're in a similar situation to me, like that they have kids and they're, you know, going through the divorce process, the best advice that I think that I can give is that you should be as positive as you can with each other in front of your kids, and to never speak poorly about the other parent in front of your kids, and just to continue to be parents together. I think that's the best thing that you can do for your kids. And I think there's kind of like that age old idea, you know, if you just kind of say something and put it out in the world, you know, it's going to come back to you. I think it's the same with that positivity. You know, if you just sort of pretend to like each other in a way and pretend to get along, that I just think it starts to organically happen in reality too. Again, I don't think that this can be applied to, you know, every situation, but that's, I guess, the advice that I would give is that just be kind and respectful to each other no matter what had happened in your marriage. Kind of keep that separate and, you know, work together on being parents in your new life together.
Sure. Yeah, putting the kids first, which sounds very easy to say, but I'm sure it's the absolute hardest thing for all the reasons you said before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that takes a large amount of grace, I think would be the right word to describe
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you work in construction, you said, right? And that's what brought you to the International Builder Show. So are you still doing the cleaning business in the nursing home, or is it launched into something else?
I am. So, no, well, I've had two jobs, per se, here since I got back into the workforce now. And at first, you know, for a few years, it was doing my business. And then in addition to working in that senior living community, since then, we sold to another partner, and I've been just working in the family business, which is construction and development. So I do that part-time, and then part-time I run my business. And mostly now I'm just managing employees and scheduling and doing the books and that sort of thing, talking with clients. But it's kind of crazy, but it works. And my father has several companies, and that's just how I learned how to be an entrepreneur and work on your business, you know, have some different income streams, and it's worked for me.
Sure.
I've been able to, that hard work was enabled me to purchase a home. So I've bought a home a few years ago now, and it's in a great neighborhood, packed full of other kids and families around our age. And it's just been such a blessing for us and our lifestyle here.
So you mentioned doing the books. Is that what you went to school for? Accounting?
No, I have a degree, believe it or not, in geography.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm not currently using, of course.
I didn't realize you could get a degree in geography. That's interesting.
It's so hard to be put into a college or university setting and kind of be forced into deciding what you want to do for the rest of your life.
The rest of your life at age 18, exactly. You have to know. It's crazy. Yeah.
I just wasn't ready, but I loved my geography classes, so I just decided to do that. Now, in retrospect, I should have picked something like nursing or that sort of thing, something teaching, something that you could go into right away and get a great job or have it to fall back on. But again, I no regrets. I don't live my life that way. I enjoyed what I learned, and you know, I'm sure I'm still applying it somewhat in my life.
Yeah. And so how do you think you apply, you know, what you've learned now as a single mother into your work? You know, do you see personality traits or things that you've picked up from that life experience that you take into work experiences?
Oh, sure. I think I've become such a strong and independent person, woman, from what happened to me. So I have absolutely applied that into being a business owner. I have just this kind of wealth of knowledge of, you know, the different emotions and things that have happened to me that I can draw upon and use in how I manage people, how I interact with clients. I just don't think that I would be able to be where I am now with owning and managing my own business without that experience. The person that I was before it happened would never have been able to handle the sort of situations and that have come up in my business.
Sure. Yeah, it goes back to like what you said, as much as you hate to have gone through it, you think back to, you know, would the old me be able to do this, you know?
Right, right. And I think that's how we should all approach difficult things that happen in our lives. You know, what great positive thing can I take from this? I mean, yeah, this really sucks. This is a terrible thing that happened to me, but there's got to be a positive thing. Got to look for that silver lining. I always try to do that. Life's short. It goes by in a blink. My kids are so big now. It just happened like, you know, in an instant, it feels like. And you just have to grab onto all those moments, whether they're good or bad, and figure out what sort of positive things can happen. Just say yes.
Yeah.
Say yes to new opportunities. So now I find myself, I'm still playing soccer in the summertime, still doing floor hockey. I started playing hockey again, ice hockey too, which I used to do as a teenager.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm doing adult ski racing. I still run occasionally. I did do a marathon that really got me through those tough times, all that running. I trained for a full marathon and completed that. I do mountain biking now. I guess these are all sports related, but I guess that's what I figured out is like, for me, like my head to get through some of that really tough stuff, I need to move my body and exercise. Right. And
well, that's an interesting metaphor too, right? Is you're running, but like, what were you running from? Right. If we get deep there, I'm sure there's some subconscious level to that running away from all that BS in your brain, and then you ran a marathon. It's crazy. I ran a couple half marathons, and I don't think I could do a full one. It's so nuts.
The actual marathon wasn't so bad, but the training was just ridiculous. It was like a part-time job.
It really is. Yeah, like I don't have 3-4 hours in a day to just go run. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm good. Like I did that once, and now I've ran half since then, but I don't think I'll ever go back to a full. Yeah. Although I did sign up for a 50-mile bike race through the hills around here in the woods at the end of the summer. So
that's cool.
That's probably pretty comparative. But.
That's funny. Well, I think I know the answer to this question because you've said this phrase a few times, but I always ask everyone to describe their journey so far in 3 words. So you're just say yes. I might have to say you can't use that because you've used those 3 a few times. But if you had to pick 3 other words, it could be another phrase or 3 different words. How would you describe your journey?
I would say determination. I just kept moving forward through all those tough times. And I continue, of course, like anyone else, to have tough times. But I'm just determined to get through it and to look for the positive. And my second word, I guess I would say love, the love of my children and my family and my friends. I couldn't be where I'm at without that. And then the third one, maybe I would say adventure. I just am a big fan of trying new things, obviously, and just looking for fun and joy and beauty. I love to travel. So adventure is definitely my third word, I guess I would say.
Those are good 3.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good life. And, you know, you get so stuck in the everyday grind and the tough stuff. And this is even good for me just to remind myself, like, there's just so much, you know, great stuff happening in my life. And that continues to happen. And I got to just keep at that level and keep moving forward.
Sure.
I will say, going back to your question about advice to other people who go through these sort of situations, I went through therapy. I'm still going to therapy. I go in for checkups periodically. I would not have been able to get where I am without that. It's probably not for everybody, but that was my therapist was a big player too in my journey. So I'm a big proponent of that.
Awesome. Yeah, I've never been, but I know people that have, and they say similar things that just sometimes, I think it goes back to what you said about the best advice was somebody just listening and not judging, right? And that I imagine that's a lot of what that is just a safe space to explore what's going on in your brain without feeling like you have to fit in some societal box that everyone expects you to be in and all those things.
Right. That's right.
Well, anything else you'd like to say to the world before we wrap this up?
I guess I just, I hope that anybody who's going through such a difficult time, whether it be similar to the situation that I went through or totally different, any sort of major life altering hard situation, I would just say, please try to keep moving forward. Think about every day, think about all the things that are going great in your life and that you're thankful for. Lean on your loved ones, your support system. No matter who you are, you have people in your life that you can count on and use them and put yourself out there. Just say yes, try new things. I can't stress that enough at how important and helpful and valuable that was in my life, was just to say yes to scary things and things that I thought that I would never be able to do, or I would be, terrible at playing soccer again. And you know what? I was for a while, but slowly I kept at it. And, now I can hold my own on the soccer field. So just stick with it. Just keep your chin up and lean on your loved ones and put yourself out there. Be vulnerable, open to new things and new possibilities, and great things will happen to you.
That's awesome. Well, the final segment here is your chance to be the interviewer. I always flip the controls over to my guests and give them a chance to ask me questions since I've just asked you a bunch.
Oh, that sounds fun. Okay, I have one.
Okay.
So out of all the people that you've interviewed so far, what to you was the most, I guess, life-changing for you? What impacted you the most, whether it be the subject or the person?
That's a great question. Similar to your advice thing, where you don't really remember a specific piece, I can't really pinpoint one exact person or topic. To me, it's been the collective whole, I started out and it was my cousins and my fraternity brothers in college and my sisters and my mom and dad, and that's who I was talking to. And then, I got, one person that was a brief acquaintance, and then one person I never met before, and then it just kind of bridged out into where it is now. So to me, the whole experience has been life-changing, where to your words of just say yes, you know, putting yourself out there. This started just me with a half-baked idea, and it's turned into something much bigger than I ever thought it would be, where I was just, you know, speaking at the International Builders Show where you saw me a month ago, which I never would have thought. So I think each one in their own way is a little life-changing, because it reminds me, you know, that the world's bigger than just me, that there's other people out in the world that are like-minded to me, that are going through things that are, you know, things I could never even imagine, that, you know, puts things in my life into perspective. So I don't think I can just say one. I think it's really all of it becomes the one, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I get that for sure. And then a random question. I would like to know, what's the best place that you've traveled to? What was your biggest adventure?
Best place I've traveled to, hands down, would be Italy.
Oh, my dream.
Yeah, my sister-in-law got married over there. And wow, it was a really cool trip. We spent most of our time in the Tuscany region. And it was neat because over there you have to have a witness, similar to how you'd have, you know, a bridal party, right? But it was people that couldn't be related to you had to go to the courthouse in Florence and bear witness and say that, you know, they weren't related. You know, it's an old Italian law where, like, we had to say that he didn't try to kill her previous husband, and that now that's why he was marrying her. And like, that was just a wild experience. And then it's just Italy. I mean, it's beautiful. We went to Florence and Siena and some wine country. We did a wine tour, and we were drinking wine in these places that were 2,000 years old. And then on the day we left, our flight got canceled, which was amazing because we got to spend an extra day in Rome, you know, on the airline. They put us up in a hotel and gave us meals and stuff. So that was a fun adventure. I definitely want to go. We were only there for, I think, 7 days, but I never wanted to leave. I mean, I feel like if anyone's going to go to Europe, you need at least 2 weeks, because while you're over there, it's like, just be over there. There's so much to see. I want to go back so bad.
Right. In a small area too. I mean, really just to hop on a train to go to another country is not too difficult.
No, it's not at all.
Wow. And let's see. My last question will be, what do you hope most for your child? What do you hope, what do you want his life to be like? What's the most valuable thing that you wish for him to have?
It's another great question. And it's one that I've, you know, as a parent, you always like think about that, but you don't really vocalize it that much. So I got a lot swirling in my brain. I mean, ultimately, I just want him to be, you know, happy, right? To feel like he's got the tools and the confidence to go do whatever he wants to do, you know, whatever that may be. So I think I would just like to have, just want him to have that spirit of, like, your word, adventure, just to feel like it's okay for him to try things, to fail at things, because that's how he's going to learn. You know, I don't want to be a parent that just coddles him and protects him from absolutely everything. You know, I want to be there to pick him up when he falls down, but he's got to fall down. That's the only way he's going to be a good human at the end of the day. So I think that's really kind of babbling, but just to sum it up, I just want him to be a self-sufficient, happy, you know, confident guy and be able to do whatever he wants to do. And I want to support him in whatever that is. And it's crazy to think about, what would the world be like when he's, you know, he's one. So by the time he's 18, it's going to be, you know, almost 2040. And who knows? Well, flying cars and, you know, colony on Mars or something. But those basic human traits will take him far, no matter where technology takes us, I guess.
I completely agree. Those are the very same things that I wish for my daughters, too. And it seems like it's getting harder and harder in this day. I mean, there's parenting style has changed so much since we were kids. And I hope I can continue that kind of old school way of life, I guess, throughout their adolescence.
Agreed. Well, you said that was your last question, so thank you. I appreciate your time and your openness. And this has been a great conversation. And I think there'll be a lot of people that relate to it, and a lot of people that'll be asking when your podcast comes out so they can listen to more.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you invited me to be on. I really enjoyed it. And I hope it happens for me too. I appreciate the time that you gave me. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That's a wrap for this week's episode of Relish the Journey. A very special thank you to Aaron Swadley for being our guest and for being so candid and so open about a very, very personal topic with divorce and being a single mom and uprooting her life and restarting everything in her 30s. She's crushing it. She's doing awesome as a single mom and all the sports and business. And, you know, she's a true picture for, it's never too late to start over, and it doesn't have to take a negative thing, everybody. I mean, go do what you want to do, you know? And I think Erin would agree with that. So just say yes, like she said. So thank you, Erin. Thank you all. You can follow us online at RTJ Podcast on all the socials. Check us out on RTJ Media. Rate, subscribe, comment, anywhere you listen to podcasts. And we will see you next week. Cheers, everybody.